Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground.
Ranger fans, report the critical thinking hangar.
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
Tonight on Blue Shirt Underground Radio, the 2-7 St. Louis Cardinals, Jim Hart and Terry Metcalf, take on the 7-2 Los Angeles Rams with James Harris as their quarterback and the pride of Plainview, Texas, Lawrence McCutcheon. Bruce Boudreaux, fired. Paul Maurice, fired. All that and more on tonight's Blue Shirt Underground Race.
All right, good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio, another Monday night edition. And since we've started with a football theme, and it is a football night in New York, let's go to Mike Francesa at the Blue Shirt Underground Sports Desk with an update of the weekend's games. Take it away, Francesa.
Game, Titans over the Buccaneers. They stay in the wild card hunt. Chris Johnson had...
Oh, what did he say? The wild what?
The wild card, I think you only can say that word on, I don't think we've actually said that word on internet radio.
I think we might have played an Andrew Dice Clay clip that had that word in it once, but even we've never said that one. That's why we never had Frances on this show. He works blue.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm glad it couldn't happen to a fatter lesbian than him. Been talking about that Penn State thing for so long, it's corrupted his mind, what was left of it.
He does kind of look like Billie Jean King now, doesn't he?
Oh, yes. Rosie O'Donnell or something. His face is morphing to a... Not a good-looking lesbian. I like those hot lesbians, but he's not... He's certainly not a lipstick lesbian, Jim Schmiedeberg.
Not at all. More like a broomstick lesbian. I don't know. But
anyway,
where were we?
We're in the midst of a two-game win streak, or a winning streak, I guess.
Hot streak.
Rangers,
whatever you want to call it.
Hot streak. Rangers unveiled their Winter Classic jerseys. I'll just say right off the bat, my comment is this. Medieval times, dinner and tournament. That's all I could say. I mean, that crest looks like they're ready for King Arthur's Court, Jim. Not liking the jerseys, but seems to be a 50-50 split between the Ranger contingent, Blue Shirt Underground feelings to come in the next few days.
Yeah, when I saw them, my first reaction was I liked them. And then I looked at them again and kind of looked at after I thought about it for a minute, I'm like, you know, this is the second time in the last year or 2 years, whatever. The Heritage jerseys were last year. So it's the second time in a year that they've had to come up with a new jersey, or a new sweater, if you will. And they really haven't used a whole lot of imagination.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the Flyers one, you know, it's just their same old thing with, you know, they added, I think, some shoulder. You know, so, I mean, you know, it's not, none of them are drastically different usually, but I don't know. It's just, all they did was take the home jersey, give it that cream color, move the stripes apart, and put the old shield on the front. So it's kind of a combination of, you know, like the 40s pajama jersey, I guess you could call it. I don't know. I thought they might have taken the opportunity to come up with something a little more different. I mean, those heritage jerseys, they're nice, but, you know, there wasn't anything drastically different about those either.
I'm starting to like those jerseys because they're winning in them.
Finally, yeah, I know. People were ready to burn them last year. You remember? I think they lost their first four or six games in them.
That's because the Rangers now, Jim, are an offensive and just a plain old juggernaut at home now. This team is rolling. They haven't lost a game at home since the opening, in regulation at least, since opening night against Toronto, as Bill Chadwick used to say. So they've got it straightened out at home, and they've kind of corrected the course. They've ended all the speculation the Rangers couldn't beat a good team, although Washington fired their coach about a game later. I would consider the Capitals a good team. And then by beating the Filthy Flyers, who, although a little bit banged up, hey, listen, we're a little bit banged up too. Rangers took care
Nobody
of
made
the East
excuses
class.
For us last year when we were banged up.
That's right. Rangers were predominantly, you know, we had the Chad Kolariks and the other guys up here, the Lobster Newberries, can't think of anybody else, the Dale Weesies, or the Dale Weiss. We had those guys up. Nobody was giving us breaks. Plus, we're not supposed to win. You know, it's another 2 points in the bank. I'll take it. I will take it. I don't care if they threw Hershey out there against us. We had to beat them. We got the job done.
That's right. Yeah, the Caps game Friday. We had the big show, the disaster show. Millions of technical problems, but apparently now Blog Talk is back. They're back from their long weekend, and so far so good. We've been logged into the studio now 20 minutes. We got the chat room all, but everything's working. All is well with Blog Talk Radio. So Friday game. You know, I put this in the group on Friday. You know, I usually tweet during the games. I, you know, have like to tweet out to the Ranger fans whatever's going on. Of course, the game was on NHL Network on Friday, and I had to listen to Ben and Adi. So, you know, that was a disaster. So I was making fun of him for a while. He's just an idiot. He's just one stupid catchphrase after another. And he uses do-si-do, so either he stole it from Pito or Pito stole it from him. Mosey, this one, Mosey's out of the zone. You just want to break his arm and beat him with it. He is so annoying. He's the worst. And whoever his sidekick is, maybe even worse than Ben and Adi. I'm not even sure who it was. But anyway, the Rangers, when they scored when they took the 1-0 lead, he was so emotionless that I wasn't even sure it was a goal. He was just like, score, score. I don't even remember who scored the goal. So listen to them. And anyway, I'm tweeting. And the Rangers were up 3-0, right? Washington scores a goal, and it's 3-1. And, of course, the Capitals have to go into there. We just saved humanity and cured cancer all at the same time. Celebration, you know. So I tweeted, nobody celebrates a goal that puts them down 3-1 better than the Capitals. Right? And then a minute later, right, their stupid fans are taunting Henrik Lundqvist. And I'm like, Capital fans, taunting Lundqvist is laughable. So I get a tweet back from this guy that runs a Capitals blog. I think it's called the Capitals Outsider, right? Now, by this point, it's 3-2. That's when they started taunting Henrik. So he says, when the Capitals tie this game at 3, then will it be acceptable to you for us to cheer for our team and mock your goaltender? A minute later, it's 4-2 Rangers, and I responded to him. I go, what are you saying? Right? And he says, he comes back with, I just think that any guy, any fan of a team who's won one cup in 70 years shouldn't be mocking anybody.
Does he really want to go down this route? That's what I'm saying. Okay, go ahead.
Well, yeah, so I respond, I'll take one cup in 70 over no cups in 45. Right? And then I tweeted to him, I said, you know, I had an argument with Caps fans 17 years ago at the US Air Arena who told me, give us 54 years, we'll win a cup. And I said, it's 45 years, the clock is still ticking, right? And this guy, and then this other guy joins in with him. I mean, I said, their fans have such a complex, and a fragile a psyche as their team. I mean, they just get, nobody comes back at me with comments more than Caps fans. They get so defensive. They have no senses of humor. I mean, Islander fans don't bother me because there's only four of them, and how, you know, and three of them don't have internet, so they're not on Twitter. You know, Devil fans, I don't know, whatever. They don't bother me either. But for some reason, those Capital fans, man, they just take every piece of you know, every piece of jibing, they take it so seriously. And then somebody else, one of our, I think it was Master of Brutality, was tweeting them. And he says to them, your comebacks are cute, kind of like your president's trophies. So, yeah, we were going back and forth, the Caps fans, and then we wound up getting Boudreau got fired because of it. And then Saturday we had the big game against the Flyers. I watched the game with the Arizona contingent. We are 3-0 now for regular season games that we watch together. It's just the playoffs we haven't won. So it was fun to hang out with those guys, to Nick. And Nick says that so far he does not miss Erik Christensen, so that's good.
So has he switched his affections to Carl Hagelin, who's got a goal and assist in two games? Or is he just sticking with the East League?
I think as long as they keep winning, he's willing to abandon the he's willing to jump off the Erik Christensen bandwagon.
That's the way I feel. Not with Erik Christensen, but if I have a favorite and have winning without him, I'll sacrifice him. He will be a sacrifice. Not that I have anybody, but sacrificial lamb for the sake of winning. I want to talk about that Capital game just a fun. What happened in that second period to our New York Rangers? They got 4 goals in a period. Which was even more shocking, I think, was that we were actually out shooting them. And I want to talk a little about this Bruce Boudreau thing. I got no love for Bruce Boudreau and his antics with last year with the our building's louder than MSG. I don't know what his motives were. And I know earlier in the year he benched Ovechkin in the last couple of minutes of a game. But do you really think, Jim, I'm asking you and this is the Underground Radio, it's not just brilliant when it comes to Ranger stuff, but everything hockey. Do you really think it's his fault? Because Ovechkin is not playing like Ovechkin. As a matter of fact, the goal he got against Hank in Washington was his first goal of the year at home. Okay, they got a goaltender who can't stop a beach ball with a Bodor and Neuvirth, who suddenly looks like the guy we all knew he was last year when we played him in the playoffs. We knew this guy. If you get any quality shots on him, he's a sieve. You know, they haven't gotten the goaltending. Mike Green has been hurt. He's hurt now. Do I really think it's Bruce Boudreau and I got to bring in Dale Hunter, whose, experience is only coaching in the Ontario Hockey League, coaching the London Knights, a team that Michael Delzato once played for? See, I did my research today, folks. I came prepared.
Well prepared.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, you know, for you older people, he looked like Nikita Khrushchev, Boudreau. He was, you know, he's a roly-poly type of guy. Alfred Hitchcock, we were calling him. I really think it was not a ridiculous move, but you bring a new guy in there. How is that going to change the culture? Everybody knows who's running the show over there, Jim. It's Ovi. I mean, that's how I feel about that. But then again, if they got some kind of turmoil in Washington, that's better for us. They've knocked us out of the playoffs the last 2 years. I wish them nothing but ill when it comes to wins and losses, or non-wins and just losses.
Well, we were talking about it on Saturday while we were watching the Flyers game, because the rumors are already starting to percolate about Boudreau. And I said, I don't think he's a bad coach. I just think that locker room is a mess between Ovechkin and Semin and Green. I just think you don't have there's no cohesiveness. There's no it's just a bad. I don't think anybody's going to succeed with that locker room the way it is. You know, Ovechkin wants to be coddled and wonderful he is 24 hours a day. And with the minute Boudreaux tried to get tough on him, he revolted. And he has, and you know, you watch him on the ice, you know, so far this year, and he is, to me, he's not the same player. You know, when in years past, he steps on the ice and it just, you know, you knew something was going to happen. Somebody was going to score. You know, whether it was him or somebody else, or, you know, he's throwing his body all over the place. You know, there was a buzz, and it's just it's not there right now. And maybe that, you know, maybe Hunter can turn that around. I hope not. You know?
I hope not.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to see them continue their losing ways, but, you know, I just think, I don't think Boudreaux's a bad coach at all. You know, somebody, you know, it's just like we talk about with Tortorella. You know, somebody coached the four President's Trophy wins, right? Or whatever it was. What'd they win? Three in a row? Two in a row? Whatever it was. You know, they didn't do it all. You know, it wasn't all because of, it wasn't all Ovechkin. But,
he turned into a fat dumbass all of a sudden? Nah, I think this was a, this never ends well. We've seen it in sports before when the players start deciding, you know, I would think that George McPhee, their GM, would be a little bit more prudent about this, but, you know, isn't the barometer for the Capitals' success really their playoff success? We all know they're going to make the playoffs this year. If they failed again, then you fire the fat ass. But, you know, in the middle of the season, with injuries and goaltending issues, I thought it was what we like to term here at the show a buffoon move. And I hope they have more buffoon moves as they go along. So that was
I just think they've got a bad mix of personalities on that team. Starting with the captain,
yeah,
and a lot of people are saying that that was the the beginning of the end. It was when he made him captain, he just empowered him, you know. So
that's that.
But enough.
And then go back to your Capitals fans. The reason they get butt sore so easily is because they have it all. They have arguably the best player in the game, at least arguably the best player in the game, you know, for at least five years, the last 2 years. Ovechkin really hasn't been himself. But arguably the best player in the game. They have Mike Green, who's actually won a Norris Trophy. Hasn't he, that dope? Or I think he did.
I think so.
Not sure. Somebody give it, because I remember being pissed off that he won a Norris Trophy. But he might not. He's just a finalist.
Yeah. Well,
so, they have all, you know, they have Backstrom, one of the premier passers in the league. They have John Carlson, who is a very underrated defenseman. At one time, they had Sergei Gonchar back there. They've had all the components and basically just went limp in the playoffs.
After they beat the Rangers.
They are so fragile that they are just so, you know, they can't do anything right, you know, and they know it. They know that they suck. They're chokers. So did you watch? Now, you watched the Capitol broadcast, so you didn't hear that ridiculous broadcast of the Rangers where we were exalting all the Rangers that got out of the one-goal club. And he enters the two-goal club. Fedotenko is in the two-goal club. And Boyle is in the two-goal club. And I'm like, are we really making this a joke point? Because really, this is embarrassing. I wouldn't even be making a joke out of this. You know, like, it was a little bit embarrassing. I was glad they were getting out of the one-goal club. I'd like to be around the eight-goal club. I know Bella Bell's going to be a little bit mad at me, but there's one guy still stuck in that one gold club.
Would that be... Brandon Dubinsky?
Yeah. Yes. Brandon Dubinsky. What are we going to do with Brandon? What are we going to do with him?
What can they do? What can they do? They wait and hope that he starts scoring. I mean, what else can they do? They're not trading him.
Oh, well, you know what they've started to do. He's starting to see some third and fourth line duty. Do you guys agree with that? Do you think that's going to send a message to him?
I agree with it.
I agree with it. He needs to wake up. He needs to wake up, folks. And, you know, I'm not one of these guys that hopes guys do bad. I want him to get going. And that's something amazing about the Rangers winning 9 out of the last 11, is that they've done it without Brandon Dubinsky scoring. And, you know, we came into this year looking for at least 20 goals from Brandon, maybe more, since he was awarded that $4.2 million contract in the offseason by the Rangers, that he would contribute a little bit more. Whereas the captain, Ryan Callahan, has responded well with his new contract and having to be under the pressure of being the captain of your New York Rangers. Ryan Callahan has played some of his finest hockey as a Ranger, I think.
Just like Staal and Girardi did last year after they got paid.
That's correct. That's correct. Now, there were a couple other Rangers who got paid this year. Michael Sauer, not as much money. Brian Boyle and Artie. Artie wound up getting a goal in that game as well, I believe. And Artie's got, you know, got like 10 assists. But still, I just want to see more out of Brandon. Now, I was that home game against the Flyers. Did you hear any derisive cheers against Dubinsky? Because I know a lot of times, you know, they do the do for Dubinsky. But I kind of heard some Bronx cheers there for Dubinsky. Was that me? Or you know, did anybody pick up on that? Maybe some people at the game. Maybe Coochie Wally, who's here. He's a season ticket holder. Wow, Elwood is here. Elwood from the Blues Brothers.
I didn't hear the chants for Dubinsky. I don't know. Are you watching the chat room here, what they're talking about?
They're talking about the who was hotter on the Munster.
Women from the women in the 60s. Talking about Ethel Mertz. All right.
People
we got about 6-7 minutes. Mike Hume's going to be here from ESPN New York. Do you want to talk to Newman real quick before Mike gets here?
Yeah, let's bring down the show. Let's bring John Newman in.
All right. What's going on, Newman?
Hello?
What's going on?
Hello, John.
How are you guys?
How are you, John?
How are you?
I like the Winter Classic jerseys. I don't, Eddie. What did I tell you last show?
I forget.
Not to worry about this losing streak.
That's right. You did say that.
I did not. Then I was going crazy. That's right, Jim. Thank you.
Well, I think you're right.
The team needed a kick in the ass. Sorry to say that. They needed a kick in the ass, and they got it. And it made them better as a team.
Well, I think certainly in the Florida game especially, with the fight early on by Prust, and the key to the Rangers' success, John, is staying out of the penalty box. And they did that against the Flyers. And that's why they were able, I think, to win. Because obviously the power play, they ain't getting any power play goals because that still ain't fixed.
And you know what? That fight that Prust took what, 5 minutes into the game, less than 5 minutes in, it woke up the Guardian crowd. 5 seconds woke up the Guardian crowd, and it woke up the team, saying that this is one of the elite teams in the league. We have to play up to their style. We can't sit back and play neutral zone.
I think that Prust did that, and I love Tortorella's comments after the game that Prust has balls as big as this building. That was a great quote by our fearless leader, John Tortorella. I know how that annoys some Ranger fans who want nothing but bad things to be said about John Tortorella, but I am here to tell you. I watched that. Did you see that HBO 15-minute preview thing, John, at all? Yeah,
that was pretty funny with Torts and that, and Henry. That was hilarious. They did a good job with that 15 minutes.
Yep. When Tortorella said, "This is, I love playing in this city. It's all about pressure and all that," I started hearing the music, Jim. I started getting all pumped up. The juices were flowing.
This should be a good one. This should be a good 2-3 weeks that we see
fatherly
of us.
Fatherly juices.
From the side.
The best part of that preview, I liked when Dan Girardi said, "Well, you know, it's not going to be any different for me. I'm used to the paparazzi around me all the time." That was the best line. What's with all the Sidney? Why did Sidney Crosby have to be in that thing so much? Oh, here's previous 24/7. I don't care. I don't want to see Sidney Crosby. Saw enough of him. Enough.
Yeah.
The best was they showed Boudreaux also. I thought that was hilarious. Or Laviolette said, "I'm going to be like Bruce now." Okay. Bruce is fired.
Fire?
I don't have a job anymore.
Yes.
All right.
I know. All right, John, we got to go.
All right, have a good rest of the night. That's it. I'm going back to work. And Stacey says hello.
Dismissed. Radio Ambient. I almost fell asleep. That's what the audience did. Thank God these people love us. And I love them. So,
pretty funny when people in the chat room are saying, why doesn't his girlfriend call in instead?
That's true. Actually, I think she's delivered more insight at the last three calls than he's done in quite a while. Although he did say to calm down, and we all did calm down, and the Rangers calmed down. After two abysmal losses, they come back with two wins against teams that we really want them to win against. I mean, this is nothing. The Caps are our playoff nemesis. Their fans are stupid. That's been established by my partner, Jim Schmiedeberg, who told you about his tweet and twats with these people on the intranets, on the interwebs. And then we beat the Flyers.
I was just noticing in the chat room, Charlene, I don't know if I'm going to say the last name right, Leitch is here. That's Jay of the Dead's brand new wife, isn't it?
Oh!
His brand new wife, fresh off the assembly line, still got that new wife smell to her.
Charlene Leitch.
Nice to see you to join us.
Leitch?
Is that how you say it? Okay.
Like Chico Leitch?
Charlene of the Dead. Mrs. Dead? Mrs. of the Dead?
Well, Charlene, we thank you for taking Jay off our hands. Let's face it. Congratulations once again on your nuptials. Just
and
another
your prenuptials.
One. And your prenuptials and whatever you guys did. Thank the Lord. Marriage is still. Well, what am I doing? I'm doing a marriage show now? Well, let's get on with it.
The videos Jay sent us from the honeymoon were fantastic.
Oh, you had to go there.
Just offering thanks.
That's right. And then the Flyer game, getting back to this thing, this whole thing. This guy is annoying me on the Flyers. Can you guess which Flyer is annoying the hell out of me right now?
Daniel Briere.
Well, they call him Danny Briere now, but he's not the man. This Wayne Simmons
guy. I got a nickname for it, too, but I won't use it on the air. Oh, Wayne, Wayne Simmons.
What is this guy looking for airtime on 24/7? He's got to start with everybody. I got news for you, Wayne. Drop the gloves. You get your banana beat in, so to speak. Banana meets Joe's.
He did.
He did.
Who did he fight on? Who did he fight on Saturday? Prust. Right?
He did fight.
Prust beat the hell out of
him. Zach Ronaldo fought.
In the second period, he fought Prust. Or Prust fought Simmons, wasn't it?
I don't know. I don't remember that. I have no recollection of that.
Yeah, see? Sue Papagallo is backing me up here. Prust, as you said, Prust beat his banana in.
Oh.
Pardon
sorry
the pun.
For the brain fog.
It's a term we choose for other players.
Oh.
Yeah, Prust beat him up pretty good.
And what was he, after every whistle, he's coming in, he's causing trouble, blah, blah, blah. Didn't he start in that Prust fight off the face-off circle, off the opening face-off? Wasn't it Simmons mixing it up with Avery? And, you know, of course, the cameramen were late to getting to the fight. They were showing that. But this guy looks like he wants a lot of FaceTime on his 24/7. And I wish the Rangers had a big, bad, gigantic goon that could take care of him. But the Rangers are employing a fourth line now of one John Mitchell, Carl Hagelin, and anybody else they throw on there, whether it be Dubinsky, whether it be Avery. And they've been doing well, and Hagelin with the goal. What a terrific goal when he batted that in. But I've just received a note that our guest is here, Mike Hume from ESPN. Jim, take it away, and I'll sit back and have a pina colada.
Okay. Well, let's welcome back to the program. He has joined us before from ESPN New York, Mike Hume. Mike covers all of New York hockey for ESPN New York. Mike, Jim, and Eddie, glad to have you back. Thanks for being here.
How's it going?
It's going well, Mike. How are you? Welcome back.
Hey, can I get one of those pina coladas, too? That sounds pretty good right now.
It's a pina colada. Yes, I will give you a pina colada.
And I had to, Eddie, I had to promise Mike we'd have him off the air in 30 minutes or less or his pizza's free.
That sounds good to me. He's probably waiting to watch the big football game tonight.
Oh, there's a football game tonight? I didn't even notice.
Well, it might be over soon.
Yeah, that's for sure.
First question off the bat, we were talking about it at the top of the show, seems to be Ranger fans seem split 50-50 down the middle. Give us your thoughts on the Winter Classic sweaters.
Hit or miss. I could see it going both ways. I mean, my opinion falls somewhere in the middle, so I'll play the neutral card. But I like the creativity, the overall design. I mean, I'm not going to get in line to buy one. I'll put it to you that way. But I appreciate the effort. You know, they could have gone just straight classic style. They wanted to do something a little bit different. From that point, I applaud them. But I mean, I don't think you're going to be seeing too many people wearing them at the Garden.
I disagree. I think they could have just put out a T-shirt with magic marker written Rangers Winter Classic sweater on the front, and Ranger fans would buy it. And actually, that's what I'm wearing. No, just kidding.
Well, I thought it was a little too medieval times dinner and tournament for me with the crest.
I could see that.
Grab some swords. Let's have a sword fight. Sticks, maybe. But I don't know. Maybe it'll look better with equipment on. Well, that's the way I look at it.
There's always that hope, for sure.
So what's going on in that Ranger dressing room? I want to know. Are the New York Rangers a confident group? I get the feeling they're just as confident and determined as their coach. I mean, is that what's going on?
Oh, I mean, from who I've talked to, I mean, they definitely have that swagger. I mean, this is a team that went through a crazy road trip to start the season, emerged more or less unscathed, and has hit their stride early in the season, even without the top defenseman. I mean, there's no reason that these guys shouldn't be confident. You know, whether that that works against them at some point, you know, I don't see that right now. I think this is a healthy confidence. You know, it's a humble confidence, and they can do a lot with it.
Yeah, I think they are a very focused group. And I really think, I, you know, I hate to give credit because I've been a detractor of Ken Janander as far as the forwards go and the way that, but I have to say that Haglund and Mitchell looked like they were totally ready, in place, and well schooled in the John Tortorella system. And I got to give him big ups for that. Were you expecting Carl Haglund to make this kind of impact this early?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I think whatever they get out of him is a pleasant surprise. I mean, he's in a position now where they're just looking for a healthy body, and he's doing more than that. He's supplying a little bit of offense. He's playing the body. You know, he's giving them a spark when they really needed it, and, you know, in some of these close games. So, I mean, the system is an interesting thing because they don't have a ton of blue-chip prospects that are, like, going to come in tomorrow. You know, they don't have a guy that's a top 15 draft pick who's going to suit up midway through the season for them. What they have are guys like Haglund who can come in, you know, play some minutes, limited action, but while they're in there, they're going to give you 110%, they're going to contribute, and they're not, you know, worthless on the ice. They have some skill.
Yeah. Jimbo?
Well, I want to ask about Mark Stahl. What is going on with this Mark Stahl situation? And I'm not necessarily asking because I think you're going to tell me, well, I'm hearing that Mark Stahl will be ready to play in 2 weeks. This has been an absolute crap circus from the beginning. The story broke in August that he's got post-concussion syndromes from an injury that supposedly happened in February when he got the hit from his brother. But he'll be back in he's not going to play the preseason, but he'll be ready for the start of the regular season. That was the first word the Rangers said. Then it was, well, he's not going to make the trip to Europe, but he'll be ready when we come back from Europe. Then you've got the GM saying, well, maybe he doesn't have a concussion. We don't know. And now, I mean, and I said when the story first came, I said, I'll be willing to bet, and you can go back and listen to the show. I said it on the show, he will not be back before at least New Year's Day. And, I mean, now here we're at Thanksgiving, and, yeah, he rode the plane with them to Florida, but I don't think that was anything more than just having him around the team for a quick trip. I mean, why is there so much misinformation, disinformation? Is it all smoke and mirrors? You know, pay no attention to the all-star defenseman behind the curtain? I don't understand what's going on. Why this disconnect with all this information?
Well, it's interesting, and I think that it comes down to two things. It's one, people are asking about this every day. So when you don't say something, it sounds like there's a story. So they're saying something, and they, you know, they're trying to be helpful with it. But at the same time, they don't know. I mean, I think we've seen with Sidney Crosby, there's so much uncertainty with these head injuries. I mean, no one really fully understands the full implications of concussions. I mean, whether it's debilitating over long-term effects of their career, or if it's just something that, hey, you know, people have sucked it up and played before, so why can't they do it now? No one really has found that balance yet. So I think a lot of it is being left up to the doctors. It's being left up to the player. And the result is this sort of gray area that we're seeing play out now. I mean, I don't know when we're going to see him. And I think they're being honest when they say that they don't really know when Mark's going to suit up. I know you can bet he wants to be out there, and you can bet he's trying to get back there every day. But at the same time, there's no sense rushing him with how well they're playing right now. And even if they weren't playing that well, the Rangers' playoffs and Stanley Cup window, I think, is just now opening. So there's no sense endangering him recklessly if you are at all uncertain about his health.
Right, and I completely agree with that. I've never seen – I can't say that, you know, for as long as I've been watching sports with any of my teams, I can't say that I've seen this much calamity surrounding an injury. It happened 6 months ago. We just found out about it now. He'll be back in 2 weeks. He's not going to be back in 2 weeks. And then they keep saying all the time, it's not a setback. But meanwhile, you know, it's 4 months, it's 2 months later now than they said he'd originally be back. Then you've got the GM saying that might not even be what's wrong with him. I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Keeps you guessing, that's for sure. That's part of the fun for us anyway. But
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it really is got to be frustrating for everyone involved, Mark, on up throughout the team. I mean, truth is, your guess is as good as mine when it comes to what the actual problem is, why things have been so, the signals have been crossed as much as they have been. But I mean, the one thing that's clear is that they're gonna take their time with this, and he's not gonna be on the ice until he's good and ready.
I mean, we tend to be cynical about the whole thing and think there's a big cover-up and this and that. but it could be just that they don't know. They frankly, when he exerts himself, he gets headaches. So he has to take some time off, then exert himself, see if he's got a headache, if he's got this, you know, whatever it is, these problems. And until he clears himself, you know, and they start off with the bike. He was on the bike last week. You know, no headaches, so they decide to take a guy who's got post-concussive syndrome on an airplane. I mean, I'm no head doctor, but I don't know if that's the smartest thing to do. But did you get a hint why they brought those injured players on that road trip? Was there any rhyme or reason for that?
Well, the statement from Tortorella that came out during one of the pressers that I think Katie Strang reported was that they were there for regular workouts, that they were there for their usual IR treatments and to practice up to the point that they're able to practice. So I don't think that there was obviously the initial assumption is that he's ready to go or very close to it. They seem to downplay that. They seem to be much more of a, this is standard, this is routine, this is the next step. And to this point, that seems to be where we're at.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, the Rangers have a lot, you know, they have a log jam once things do start to get a little bit healthy in the forward department. Is where Erik Christensen's going to wind up. You know, if Haglund stays and or Mitchell, that kind of puts Matt Zuccarello, basically in Connecticut for the rest of the season. Again, if Stahl comes back, somebody is going to have to sit. I think one of the stories, at least from my part, that's been a kind of a silent story, has been the play of Wojwitka and Emminger as the third pairing. They have not been liabilities out there, and let's face it, that's all you can ask from your third pairing. I think they've settled in nicely. I mean, they don't seem to be a liability out there, and I really had my concerns about both of them, you know, when the season started.
Absolutely, and the nice thing about them is they are veterans. You know, this isn't their first rodeo. You're not relying on a rookie to carry those minutes, and obviously we saw that with Erickson a little bit. You know, as a third pairing defenseman, I think you're right. It's sort of the do no harm philosophy. You know, just go out there, don't make a mistake, stay in your lane. You know, take away space when you can. And then we'll get you out on the next shift. So they've been, you know, absolutely perfect for those roles. And they've been able to stay in those roles because of the trickle down effect. I mean, I think everyone who follows the Rangers closely knows how good Girard is, but he has been absolutely stellar at this season. And I mean, if he's not an all-star, somebody's not paying attention, because he's absolutely been outstanding. And Ryan McDonough is the same way. He has stepped up big time for this team.
Yes. He's played well. Joe Micheletti surely thinks he's playing well. Joe Micheletti, I think, wants to anoint him the Norris Trophy winner again. And, you know, Girardi is playing well, and there's no doubt about it. But I think to have McDonough as your second pairing guy, when Stahl returns, you're really starting to talk like, hey, let's face it, the Rangers have one of the best defenses in the league, as it is. And it's not just the team concept. defensively. You saw it. Girardi was able to take on Ovechkin against the Capitals. Seemed to do pretty well, even though Ovechkin got the goal when Girardi kind of was used as a screen. But certainly Dan Girardi is playing an all-star type of game. And the Rangers look like defensively they're going to be set. Mike, can you talk about, while we're on the defense, Michael Delzato, do you think he's making progress or he's just starting to get it, I think, right now? I think a lot of people are looking for him to be more offensive, but I think now this is where I wanted him when he first came into the league, to learn defense first. How do you feel about that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think if you look at his potential that he showed off when he first came into the league, you could look at him and he's just a tremendous offensive weapon for the blue line. But he was still very raw, and his offense, I think, masked a lot of his warts. And now, I think he hit the nail exactly on the head. He's learning to play the position in the NHL. He's been able to sort of slow the game down, take it one step at a time. You're right, it probably has come to the expense of some of his offensive production. But, I mean, frankly, he's a defenseman first. And even the most offensive-minded defensemen, I mean, I remember talking to Mike Green about this, and he says, you know, as offensively potent as he is, that his number one job is to be a defenseman. And, you know, when the other team scores against you, you bristle at that. So he's doing more of his job. It's been probably a little bit slower than people expected because of the way he broke out when he first broke into the league. But right now, I mean, he's pretty much right where he should be. And, you know, for a guy of his age and in his talent level, you know, it's only going to get better from here. And I've been very, very, very impressed with him this season.
Well, hindsight being what it is, the Rangers made a tremendous mistake with him not sending him back to juniors his rookie season.
I think that, you know, but they really had no choice at that point. I mean, not that they had no choice, but he was playing at such a level, you know, offensively, and that's what they needed at the time. And let's frankly, they still need it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if we're gonna see Anton Stroman again. But that's here nor there. Jim, you go ahead.
What about another guy, Ranger favorite, that seems to have been with Zuccarello? Is he ever? You think he's ever coming back up, or is he going to work? He was looking to go back to Europe, or there was a story. I don't know how true it was. I guess there was a story overseas that he's asked for a trade. Give us your take on MZA.
I mean, the overseas stuff, I sort of pay no mind to it until I hear something a little bit closer to home. I mean, it seems like every time a foreign league player that was signed or drafted is short on playing time or sent to the minors, a story like this surfaces. And, you know, I'm sure
there was one a week on Frolov.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, and I feel like it's sort of no surprise that we're hearing these things. Whether or not they're true, I don't know. I know he, just like anybody else, he certainly wants to be playing on Broadway, but his talent and his makeup make him an odd fit for this team. I mean, he's skilled enough and he's fast enough that he could provide that offensive spark, almost like, I'll use a football analogy since the game started, but sort of a change of pace, third down back, where you're going out there and you got your bruisers and you got your straight ahead, grind them down guys. And then you have Zuccarello who can, you know, fly down the wing a little bit, be a little offensively creative. But in terms of the overall Rangers strategy, he doesn't have a lot of guys on this roster that are going to complement that. I mean, the only guys that really can play with that are on the top line. And you know, they're not about to mess with the top line to try and get Zuccarello going. So I think he's sort of in an odd spot. I wouldn't be surprised if you see his name start emerging in trade rumors if the Rangers need some more depth or are looking for something come the trade deadline. I mean, he does have a lot of talent, and I've always found that players that excel in the shootout will usually find a home. I mean, those are valuable points come the end of the season, and he is nothing but aces when it comes to that skills competition.
Right.
Yeah, and Stan from Bayside even said in the chat room, bringing Zouk up is also, there's cap problems with that too, which even makes him lower on the totem pole as far as guys being called up. Now that the dust is settled, what are we thinking about Sean Avery now? Was it a good thing? Was it a bad thing? Is it a neutral thing? I mean, Sean's kind of quieted down the last couple of games. Have we seen him go under the radar again for, you know, let's hope it's not, for 10, 15 games again? Or are we going to, was it a good thing that Sean got recalled, in your opinion?
I mean, it is if he continues to work out. I mean, I think, you're never going to bring up Sean Avery for his offense. He's got a role, and it's to get under the other team's skin. To go out there and make some sparks. I think the thing that bothered Tortorella more than anything else is his propensity for bad penalties. And even though some of them probably weren't even his fault, some of them he's got a reputation, he's got a target on his back. I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that if he and somebody like Pavel Datsyuk commit the same hit on the same player, he's more likely to get the penalty than Datsyuk. And that cost him. You don't want to put your team shorthanded as many times as Avery did. But, I mean, there's definitely upside. You've seen it before. He will get players distracted. He will get under your skin. He will get you a power play. And I think overall, it's been a net addition since he's come back up. It was a weird dance from the get-go, and I still don't fully understand what they were going for at the beginning of the year. It seemed like he had no shot, and then they said he had a shot, and then he clearly didn't have a shot because he was down in Hartford. So I don't fully get that, but I mean, as long as he continues to contribute and he doesn't take bad penalties, I think he will be a net addition. As soon as he starts getting that target painted back on his back, that's when he becomes more trouble than it's worth.
He's even stayed away from the vaunted offsides four times a game too. That's one of those annoying things about him, is he's even trying to cheat on the faceoff. I mean, on the offsides, he's got to try to get one over on the refs. And he did draw a penalty, I think, one of the games over the weekend, didn't he? I remember, I think he got a high stick or something. So we say, as long as you're right. A lot of Ranger fans, when they get, they're very protective of Sean Avery, and a lot of times they feel that Sean is being restrained by John Tortorella with his antics and stuff like that. And I don't really feel that. I feel that as long as Sean does his antics and doesn't cost the team and put them in bad situations, that's fine with John Tortorella.
He loves those sandpaper type of guys. I mean, I think that you've got that one, pegged. As long as he's out there, causing distractions, getting under people's skin, playing the body, and he's not useless with the puck. He can definitely get in there and move the puck, make some plays. He's pretty quick on his feet. So as long as he's doing those things, that's great. It's when he starts, letting his emotions get the better of him and taking bad penalties in the offensive zone particularly, that's what sets Tortorella off. And he just won't stand for it, as I think we've seen before.
And one other thing with Avery, I was thinking about this today. If Avery makes it to the Winter Classic, we're talking national TV, we're talking the Philadelphia Flyers in the midst of, 40, 50, I don't know how many they're going to have, 30, 40,000 fans there, in Philadelphia, Citizens Bank Park. Wouldn't this be the biggest stage that he wants to be on? I mean, he's Mr. Hollywood. He's dating the starlets, this and that. I wonder if he's going to get a call from Mr. Bettman before this all starts. Not to do anything stupid, not to ride his stick after he scores, not to, you know. Do you think that goes through his mind, or is that just like in some kind of the cartoonish thinking that I do all day?
Whether it's going through Avery's head, I can't say. But I mean, it definitely goes through some people. I mean, I think it was the Fenway Park Winter Classic, Bruins Flyers. I mean, Carcillo said there'd never been a fight in the Winter Classic before. He wanted his minutes of fame there, and he talked to his, I forget who he fought, but he said, "You want to do this?" And off they went. So I mean, it definitely that fame element definitely plays into that game. Absolutely. You know, whether or not Avery's going to have anything special planned or it's crossed his mind, I don't know. But, I mean, the big winner in that equation is HBO, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and even in the preview, some of the words, the fur is starting to fly, so to speak. Pronger calling Dubinsky Weasley. I thought that was really good. And then Pruss saying, "I hate the Flyers. I hate them more than any team in the league." And Scott Hartnell, I think it was Dubinsky, I think, launched a scud towards Scott Hartnell. And I think it's genuine. I don't think they're playing that up. I mean, we've seen this kind of unfold before Mike Richards got traded. Dubinsky and Mike Richards used to go at it all the time. As a matter of fact, Dubinsky's best games were against the Flyers, in my opinion. So I think it's going to be a good 24/7. I think the ratings are going to be through the roof for this thing. I really do.
Yeah,
especially since
we
can't afford tickets.
those games as they are, you know, even without a outdoor stadium of 40,000 or so, screaming fans are always great. I mean, you look at this weekend and you got another taste. So I mean, the rivalry alone, you play a team six times a year, you're bound to have a lot of bad blood. When you separate them by only about an hour and a half of Amtrak time, it's going to be even more. And when you add in the history, you know, now you really got a Molotov cocktail there. So I think this is going to be really fun. The fans are going to love it, and I cannot wait for the show to start.
Are you going to the Winter Classic, Mike?
Right now, I'm planning on it. My boss just has to give me the okay. But my plans right now are to be in there freezing my butt off.
ESPN will be at the game.
Wow, our press credentials. We're still waiting for them. Should get them a couple days after on eBay. We can buy them on eBay.
Yeah.
My last
question is, Mike, are the Rangers ever going to fix this power play? Ever?
It's a great question. I mean, the thing that's sort of ironic about the whole thing is you look even within their own division, the Penguins. I mean, they've had a terrible, 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 like, turn your eyes away power play for years. And they have, you know, easily far more skill than the Rangers have. It's one thing that we've looked into statistically for a couple of projects for ESPN Insider and for ESPN the magazine. And in the playoffs, there's no real strong correlation with having a good power play and having a good having good success in the playoffs. So that much is encouraging. The way they score goals 5-on-5, the majority of the game is played 5-on-5. So, you know, you got to feel good about that part at least. It's certainly frustrating to watch and for everyone involved. And it certainly wouldn't be a Madison Square Garden experience without everyone yelling shoot whenever the puck goes back to the point. So from my own personal standpoint, I love hearing it. I love that element to it. But, yeah, it sure would be nice if the puck went in the net every once in a while, huh?
Well,
yeah.
You know, my problem isn't so much – you know, my problem is when they're just standing around on the power play. You know, obviously they're always better when they're on the move, and they seem to get – it seems like the longer they go without a goal, the less they move. You know, it's almost like, you know, it's like you can watch the steadily just go downhill until eventually they're completely stationary. Then they play a game where they'll go, like, you know, 1-for-6 on the power play or something, and they'll look just a little bit better, and they kind of climb that hill again, and then they start to go down again. And then every power play, they move just a little bit less and less, and you can see the fans, oh, my God, this power. If I hear the words decline the penalty one more time, I'd have died for every time I had to. I heard that. I wouldn't have to work for a living for every time I hear decline the penalty. So doesn't Mike Sullivan run this power play?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely approaching the point where it just gets a little absurd. But you're right. I mean, they tighten up. You start doubting yourself. You start overthinking. You start overhandling the puck. You start turning the puck over. I mean, they're not the only team that does it. That's for sure. But yeah, you know, you gotta. And I think Tortorella's big goal is to get them just keep moving the puck. Keep swinging the puck. Make the defenseman move. There's only four of them or three of them out there. Yeah, you know, you can't just give them the advantage by sitting still and letting them sit in the lane. You got to make them move. So I think once people get that through, we'll see a big lift.
I guess the last question that I have before we send you along your merry way to do whatever you have to do in a half hour, I won't even ask.
Oh, yeah,
as we finish
comment.
Up our pina coladas here, I'd like to. Now, the Rangers, in between the 9 games that they've won, they've lost 2 games, which to me were baffling, the way they played in those 2 games, as I search to remember those 2 games that they lost. It's been so long ago, I've forgotten what teams they've lost to.
Montreal was one of them.
Montreal, right, in Montreal. And
yep.
Then they lost to somebody else on the road. Who was it? Whatever.
Florida.
How could a team
Florida?
How could those a team like that look so bad in those 2 games? I mean, impotent, inept, flaccid. Anything else I can throw out there that's penis related? How could they look so bad in those games? Are they just duds? Was there any truth to that Montreal? They were out too late, and there was things floating around. Can you explain how this team can do a Jekyll and Hyde once in a while, or is that just part of the NHL season?
I mean, I think it's the last little bit there. I mean, there's 82 games. You know, no team is going to run the table, I think they got caught a little flat-footed by both of those teams. And, you're coming, especially the Canadiens game, you're coming off a big win over the Islanders, rivalry game. Yeah, you got really up for that one, so the natural tendency is to be a little bit down for the next one. And Montreal has been hungry for some wins. That one surprised me. And Florida is better than people think. I mean, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but they're going to make it interesting down towards the end of the season. So, I mean, a 2-1 loss to Florida isn't as bad as it seems. The best thing about the Rangers so far is they haven't let that become a streak. You know, they have two games where they don't look good, but then they come back and they just, you know, lay the lumber on the Caps. I mean, 6-3, you could argue that that was the game that got Boudreaux fired because apparently they've been talking to Dale Hunter for more than a couple of days. So, I mean, that's a rebound win to the nth degree, and then following it up with a 2-0 win over the Flyers. You know, that's just builds you up even more. I mean, looking back at my notes here, they had they've beaten the Canucks, the Sharks, the Caps, and the Flyers by a combined score of 17-5 this season. So, I mean, that's got to be encouraging come playoff time. You know, that those are the teams that they've already beaten and beaten soundly in the regular season. So, you know, I'm willing to overlook a couple of duds, but as long as they don't make it a habit, that's the important part.
And let's face it, under John Tortorella, especially last year, they stayed away from that, except for a little bit of a swan dive toward the end, which we're starting to get used to as Ranger fans. But they played consistent hockey under him pretty much his complete tenure here. They've taken very little swan dives. So we should be getting used to this, but it's tough for us Ranger fans to adjust after, you know, 40 years of this nonsense. But I'm trying to turn it around.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Well, Mike, thanks for your time, man. We really appreciate it.
Hey, gentlemen,
Mike,
enjoyed it. As always, take care.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, have a good one, guys.
You too, Mike. Thanks.
The great Mike
Hume.
Right.
Mike Hume from ESPN New York. His fun. We got him out of here in a half an hour, as he requested.
Yeah.
What else is in the news, Robin? All right, phone call, 646.
You really want to watch that Giant game. I could tell that right away.
No, I'm too. Hey, well, they're doing it. You know what it is? You know what it is? They're posting in the chat room, and all it says is they stopped them. Or, you know, holy shit, what a play. Or goddamn Giants. You know, nothing. That's all they're posting. So I'm sitting here reading this stuff like, ah! And my friend is texting me, even though I told him not to. And his last text was arg, with a lot of A's and R's. So... No, it's all good. We will stay here till the end, and I'll go watch the Giants on the DVR and skip to the good parts. And if there are none, well, then I'll be in bed early tonight. That's all. So 646-478-4692 is the phone number if you guys want to call in. Give us your take on the Winter Classic, or if you want to gloat over the Caps game, the Flyers game. Or we didn't even talk Islanders with Mike Hume. I wanted to ask him about the about Capuano, because the rumors starting to circulate that his job might be in jeopardy.
Jim, who are they going to replace him with?
You like that? See? What were we thinking?
They built that thing on Indian burial ground. They sold their souls at the walk. It's going to cave in like in Poltergeist pretty soon.
Did you see they had the home and home with the Devils over the weekend, and they lost Friday night, and it put the loss Friday night to the Devils put them under 500 for the history in their history. Their one loss record for the history of the franchise was under 500 for the first time since Mike Bossy was a rookie.
Wow, that's more ammunition to give.
I mean, you know, not to rehash, but, you know, I mean, you had a 10-year period pretty much where they were, you know, one of the best teams in hockey. You know, I think they won at least 60 games, I think, once or twice. So, I mean, that whole dynasty, they've completely erased it. I mean, they are now an under 500 as an organization. I mean, when you consider how great they were at one time, to have fallen this far that they are now an under 500 organization, and I could not be happier about it.
Yes. Yeah. I think they've only won two games since they beat the Rangers. That's pretty bad. So, listen, I was happy to beat the Devils the other day, because the Devils, they're really more could pose a problem for us down the stretch as far as the playoffs go. And the walk is not being filled again, and I don't know how that team makes any money. No one's going to be inviting them to a Winter Classic soon.
And yeah, you got that right. And you know what? I think they announced the attendance for the Islanders Devils game at like 13,000. So even when they put two teams together from the tri-state, from the metropolitan area, they still can't, unless it's the Rangers, neither one of them are drawn. Even when they play together, it's complete apathy. Devil fans don't care. Islander fans don't care. Put it all together, and what have you got? 13,000 fans.
Man.
And I cannot confirm this. I'm just speculating. But you know how a certain mutual acquaintance of ours that works for the Islanders as their social media coordinator?
Oh, yes.
Well, she's completely stopped tweeting under
what?
Her own account. Under her own account. I have a feeling that the Islanders maybe put the kibosh on her personal tweeting.
Really?
So there's no more hockey o'clock. I guess it's up to me and you now to keep that tradition alive.
I mean, seriously. I've met a lot of nuts in my life. I mean, trust me. Some of them are in this chat room right now. Some of us are listening to this show on podcast. Some of them. And in the doctor's office, laughing. But that woman is probably one of the nuttiest people I've met. Her whole life revolved around Twitter, and she's been canned by the Islanders. She's not tweeting? What is she in, some kind of tweet rehab? Because she would... Oh. Well, that's a different thing. But the fact that she's not tweeting, it's I'm just completely thrown off track now. I'm going to end it there. So,
as Jimmy Buffett would say, Alan, the stories we could tell.
Oh, Lord.
Sweet.
Go ahead. Take over. I'm flustered.
The Islanders have put a clamp down on the social media from their social media coordinator. I'm just going by what I'm seeing. I have not spoken nor communicated with her in a very long time. Once she told me to make a choice, and I chose Eddie.
She did. This woman once said I was the cancer of the internet, of blogging, that anybody affiliated with me should not follow me on Twitter because I dared to shoot one of my famous videos, which I know Mess and Gretz has on a permanent loop in his house. And that guy says, Brian Leach sucks, and I go, well, he's no Bruno Gervais.
You think about it. There are websites out there for hate groups, homophobes, racists, Al-Qaeda. But you're the problem on the internet because you said that a kid with an Islander T-shirt was being abused.
I said somebody called social services. Somebody's making wear this kid wear an Islander shirt. If I said that. So, like, how dare you say that to a child? Oh, my God. Child abuse. Oh, how dare you? Get the fuck out of here, you lame brain.
Sorry, Charlie.
Oh, I know that child. I know his parents. They're upstanding parents. Listen, you let them
work.
While I felt like I was in the Coliseum there, I transported myself, recollecting that thought. How bad is that uniform that they're wearing? That third jersey? Holy shit!
It's hideous.
What a piece of God. It's hideous. It looks like the Mets on skates.
Mets. Yeah, keep waiting for Darno Alfonso skating out.
How many places do I got to see the number? Front, the back, the helmet. They should put the names of the players in big letters because nobody knows who the hell they are. Unless I got to see their number. Oh, my God. Atrocious. Horrible. Give me Roger's thesaurus. Whatever I can come up with. Putrid.
I tweeted during that Island of Devil game the other night. Somebody brought a German Shepherd with a shaved ass to the Coliseum. Oh, no, wait. That's Okpozo.
Oh, God. The Geico caveman. Kyle Okpozo. We were talking earlier about the ugliest man in hockey. He's up there. I don't know. I mean, seriously, folks. That uniform is just... I can't say it's a disgrace because there was never any grace in that franchise. it's appallingly bad. Don't they have to go through some approval? There should be like an NHL fashion expert. Like if Tim Gunn out there or something. Designers, this uniform is horrible. What are you thinking? Now, something like that.
Well, they had the Kings wear those jerseys a few years ago. You remember those things with the...
Cards?
Had the Burger King on him with the purple sash. You remember those?
Yeah, I remember those. Those were bad.
And obviously, nobody was looking at the Flying V.
Oh, God.
They're bad.
They're really bad.
Horrendous.
Couldn't they make something? They need to draw up sale someone. They should have had to hire the best guy. Whoever does this, the best designer to come up with something that Islander fans would go out and buy. If I see an Islander fan with that, first of all, to see an Islander fan even on Long Island is a rare thing. But if I swear I'm just going to start laughing in the guy's face and video it at the same time so I can post it. Oh, disgusting.
You underrate Islander fans. He said you're being unfair to the Islanders.
Oh, yeah, he's trying to bait me into more.
Like Wade Redden was misunderstood.
I told him it was over. When Marty Reasoner is your big-time free agent that you got, and the Rangers got Brad Richards, it's game over, man. Game over. Marty Reasoner. he'll be a good third, fourth-line guy. Oh, a good pickup by the Islanders. It's over. It's Steve Staios. It's Mike Mottau. It might as well be Thomas Kluchek and any other 40-year-old defenseman that's never mapped to anything. Get all these ex-Rangers. Well, Steve Staios is an original Nashville Predator, but their defense is terrible. Grabner was supposed to be this, he scored the other night, but he hasn't emerged. Why? It was the Island of the Minute. I'll move on from this nonsense. Let me talk about why the Rangers are so much better than the Islanders, folks. The Rangers have the ability to draft players under the tutelage of Gordy Clark that are intellectually superior to the most players. I'm going to say it. Carl Hagelin, your goal scorer the other night. Jim, you got to like the way this kid shoots the puck. He shoots the puck, asks questions later. He backs
right.
That puck.
I like his speed.
Hand-eye coordinate. I like his speed.
Skates so fast his helmet can't keep up with him.
That's right. Academic All-American from Michigan. Chris Kreider's in his eighth year of college over there in Boston College, wherever he's going. We're all about the students now. And the college players. There's Derek Stepan from Wisconsin. There's Ryan McDonough from Wisconsin. All college boys. You want to, we'll go with you, John Tavares, number one pick. He's in a stagnant mode. I think John Tavares is a good hockey player. I don't want to get back to the Islanders. I think he's a good hockey player. But if you had to play in that arena after going, that was a superstar in Canada while he played in juniors. Now he's playing in fucking Hempstead. Talk about a letdown. So I like Carl Hagelin. I think Carl Hagelin, if he continues, has the chance to move up in the lineup. And I like the way that John Mitchell plays. John Mitchell is a good pickup. Who did we get John Mitchell for? Does anybody know? Could somebody fill me in?
Who did they
Charlie
get?
Charlie Ospisumati, who hasn't been heard from in a while.
We need a promoter. We need a producer.
We need a producer.
Who did they trade for John Mitchell? No,
we didn't
I don't
get Grotchev. Don't even bring up Grotchev.
Oh, what did you post about Grotchev yesterday on the group?
Ken Hitchcock likes Grotchev.
Does he?
Oh, he's going to try to get him more minutes of the penalty kill and power play. The only thing he says is he doesn't score in practice. So how's he going to score in a game? Other than that, Grotchev's doing well. No, he had nothing but good things. The St. Louis fans are very high on Grotchev. I've been over at their boards monitoring the situation. They think they see something in. What happened to the Dale Weiss? Weren't we crying about him in week two when he had a goal and an assist?
It was just a draft pick they traded John Mitchell for John Mitchell.
Oh, didn't they get Fogarty? No, Fogarty was for Grotchev, right? Stephen Fogarty.
I believe that is correct. Stephen Bad Moon Rising Fogarty.
John Mitchell?
Seventh round pick, yeah.
That's pretty good. What's a seventh round pick anyway?
Henrik Lundqvist.
Sure. I like the fact. Now, I would assume the pecking order is probably going to be Zuccarello pending the cap, Ryan Bourque maybe next if they do bring guys up. But what are we going to do about Brandon Dubinsky? I haven't heard of Jacob. What do you think Brandon Dubinsky has to do?
I mean, there's what can they do except, you know, keep putting him out there? I mean, yeah, okay, you want to send a message to demote him to the third or fourth line. He's been getting, you know, they did that. Look, eventually he'll start scoring again. He'll work his way out of it. He'll work his way out of it. If he has to sit a game in the press box, you do it. Right? If he has to watch one from a bump, it's been done. It's been done before with players. What did he do with Delzato last year? Didn't he have Delzato sit up in a press box and diagram the power play? He could have Dubinsky do that. Because we still got the same. Maybe that's the problem with the power play. They let Michael Delzato diagram it last year.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, now it's Dubinsky's turn to go up there, and diagram the power play.
We used to claim it was the personnel, really, the power play, and blame it. You know, listen, Mike Sullivan. I think whatever he's doing, he has no clue. But I'm not sure firing him or taking him off the power play duties is. We have good enough personnel that something good should be happening when guys are out there. And we're putting at least, you know, and you got Brad Richards now, and you got Gaborik. It really shouldn't be a problem out there. We shouldn't be running around 27th in the league on the power play. And I don't know what the problem is. I think the Rangers are very unselfish. They should shoot more. And you know I hate to yell shoot during a power play. Because there's 15 other thousand monkeys yelling at the Garden. Same time, shoot. I yell pass. Then the guy takes a shot, and then there's a save. And then I go, see, he should have passed. Because everybody is, everybody knows best. When you're a fan, you know better than anybody.
That's right.
But, I don't know. Just, armchair
power play quarterbacks we are.
Yes. I mean, I'm frustrated like you guys are. There's no doubt about it. But still, it's got to work out. I think it's got to get better, Jim. Just got to get better. Oh my!
Of course it will. Hi, Chris.
Jim just saw you on the camera.
Hi, Chris.
Take it all. Oh, I'm sorry. that's our other video cam show.
What's that on?
You got secrets, I got secrets, Mr. Twitter.
I shared mine with you. www.blueshirtunderground.com. If you guys want to catch all our old shows or our sound effects or buy a handsome Blue Shirt Underground T-shirt Eddie is wearing. Are you wearing your Blue Shirt Underground T-shirt tonight?
No, I'm wearing another.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I'm not. I'm wearing some other Ranger thing.
Well,
I want to thank you. You mentioned it. Maybe you want to go ahead. We got a letter. Do you have a letter or a message from the person that we're?
Well, you were talking about. We got a donation from Denmark, and that was our friend Kim Hansen, who is in the chat room tonight. We don't get to see him very often, but he usually listens on the podcast. He is in Denmark, and he is just another cog in the Blue Shirt Underground worldwide machine. He is one of the thousands. Thousands of Europeans that listen to this show on a weekly basis. You've heard them. They call into this show a sensation. Bigger than the Beatles. All right, maybe not bigger than the Beatles, but.
Yeah, we're not bigger than the Beatles, but Kim Hansen was nice enough to donate his hard-earned money to keep this show on forever. That's our promise to you, that this show will never leave, for better or for worse. We'll never leave. That's even if I go to Mad Dog Radio.
I believe so. You had to prepare me for that.
I was going to go back into it. But there were some rumors that I may be leaving to go to work for XM Sirius. That is not...
I am not going to Mad Dog Radio.
Something very bad just happened in the Giants game because I just heard my wife yell from the living room. Ah, come on!
Oh, no.
I am not going to Mad Dog Radio.
It's
She's still yelling at the TV.
Anshimov.
Frankie got mad at, he sent me a nasty message on Facebook, by the way. We're gonna fix Frankie when he calls in next time. He sent me a message, he said something like, "Oh, I was on hold for that show of yours the other night, and whoever was on the phone was going on and on and on, making no sense, blah, blah, blah." He was like just trashing whoever was on the phone while he was on hold. He's like, and then I hung up. This from a man who had told us. Exactly. This from a man who has told us 5 times that he had a skull fracture.
Yes. I can't pronounce a Ranger name correctly. Autumn Anisimov is now head injury.
And Matt Stahl.
Matt Stahl.
Oh.
Dale Weesey. Autumn Anisimov.
Anisimov. Dance them off.
All right, you ready to talk to Mandar?
Yes.
All right. Mandar, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. Wow, the loyalties are divided tonight between the Rangers and the Giants, Jim. What's up with that, man?
Well, it had to be done. Had to. We had a guest tonight. Tomorrow's the game. Wednesday's my daughter's birthday, so this was, and we didn't want to, we don't like to go too long with, between shows. We've got people in Denmark and Sweden and Istanbul and Egypt that want to hear this show, and, you know, we're obligated to give it to them.
Married couples now, it's become a couples thing.
I know people meet each other on here. Shout out to Charlene.
That's right. Couples no longer go on dates. They come into the chat room and listen to the show together.
Tough economic times.
We set records tonight in the chat room there. My goodness, how many ladies are in there. And a shout-out to all the ladies out there.
The ladies, man.
Lady.
So,
guys,
excuse me while I whip this out.
What did Kim Hansen said? Kim Hansen said that that our show is even too much for people in Denmark. They couldn't handle this show.
Yeah, he
I'm
said,
thinking,
we don't,
wow.
We don't get too many shows like yours in Denmark. I'm not sure what that means.
Don't they allow, like, marijuana? Isn't that legal there? And they don't get shows like this?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Everybody's walking. They're all walking the streets naked over there, but they don't have radio shows like this.
We're too edgy, apparently.
No wonder Zuccarello doesn't listen to us.
Right. So, your assessments, my friend.
An unbelievable stat. 29 even-strength goals given up in 20 games. That is insanity. Insanity. Without their number one defenseman, with a melange of 5 and 6. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
I mean, it's like 1950s stats, you know, when only 2 goals were scored in the whole entire game.
And they're doing it under the radar, too, because you watch all the, like, the NHL Network or any of the blogs that talk about the entire league, and they talk about, of course, the coaching changes today and how great Hitchcock's turned around the Blues and other guys having spectacular, you know, little bit of runs. The Bruins winning 9 or 10 in a row, and this all the Rangers are flying under the radar. They have the I think they're tied with San Jose for having the least losses in regulation, which means again, you play 20 games, you've only not gotten a point in 5 of them. It's insanity, especially after the way they started.
Oh,
I don't know
if
they're doing it with mirrors, but I hope the show doesn't end.
No, I mean, think about the difficult schedule, the overseas nonsense, the travel out west. And
again, they're having key players not scoring, and yet somehow, some way, it's all worked out. And as much as it pains me to say that, I guess at some point, when the juggler keeps juggling, I guess every now and then he finds the right combinations for a certain period of time, and then juggles again. I mean, I finally give him credit for putting Dubinsky on the fourth line where he belongs because his play has merited that this year. But still putting him out there on the power play, you know, which is still a work in progress. But I'm glad. Have you noticed they've kind of taken Brad Richards off the point now on a regular basis, have him a little bit more down low at times, which is a good thing.
I like that better.
You know,
but he's good on faceoffs. He's, I think, better there.
Absolutely.
He's put Stepan on the point now.
Yeah, and that's a good move. Stepan's turned into an unreal a passer, too, so he can definitely play the setting up there. But Richards, who doesn't score a lot of goals, never has. I think I read somewhere last year was his career high in goals with like 26, 27, something like that. That guy's got a shot. I mean,
yeah,
and from in close, you know, putting him down there, I think he could be another sniper down there. And Gabrick's having a great year, but really the Rangers aren't a team that's, thank goodness, based on one particular player. It's a true team effort. There's no MVP candidate on the Rangers. There's no Norris Trophy per se candidate because, you know, Girardi doesn't have the sexy stats they're looking for. Lundqvist is a Vezina candidate, but, you know, they have different flavors of each month now going on, and forget it. With all the news about number 87 coming back there, nothing else in the league matters anyway. But
right.
It's just, you know, they're going to talk about how wonderful it is that he's coming back. But meanwhile, this is a Ranger team that is just, that has done above and beyond. Again, if I told you before the year started that after 20 games they'd only have 5 regulation losses, give up 29 goals on the even strength in 20 games with your leading goal scorer last year having one goal, you know, Brian Boyle having 2 goals, a power play that's in the bottom 3 in the league, and you're going to somehow use those stats and then tell the people, oh, yeah, by the way, they only have 5 regulation losses in their first 20 games. It's insane. It really is.
John Tortorella said, by the way, you're talking about Stepan. John Tortorella today said, or yesterday, said that right now Derek Stepan is their best all-around player.
It's hard to argue that the way he's been playing this year. His first few games of the year looked like that he wasn't real sure of his role. They put him on that Richards and Gabrick line at first. It didn't seem to work out. He had to feel his way back in. But, my goodness, every game, you look at him game in and game out. I mean, it reminds me of the way Callahan was when he started to come into his own, only with a little bit better vision on the ice for passing. I mean, he gets in there, you know, step on hits, he threads the needle on passes, back checks. I mean, it's his second year in the league. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I think the only thing I could fault him on a little bit is I think he's a little unselfish, which is not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. A lot of times I see him pass up some opportunities, but that's what he looks to do. He looks to pass first. When he was drafted, when the Rangers were looking at him, they really felt he was captain material. He was the captain of the World Junior team. When they won, Derek Stepan is going to be one of those Rangers that he's going to be about as beloved as Ryan Callahan is at the end of his Ranger career if he stays with the Rangers. I really believe that there's just everything, including his mom, let's face it. She will also be adored by Ranger fans as long as she's around. But anyway, yes, Stepan is really playing well.
And you realize what's coming in, you know, in the future. You've got, you know, obviously, you know, the guys that are going to be coming, you've got Erickson coming in, Kreider's going to come in, Miller's going to come in. For the guys that are getting older and that are going to probably be phased out like a Fedotenko, you know, valuable workers who go out there and do the job. Fedotenko is just a hard worker guy that you put out there, you trust. These guys, you know, they have the young players come in. Look how great Hagelin and Mitchell have come in. Seamless. Even to some extent, Avery, you know, came in and has fit in real well, hasn't hurt. And they just step right in the lineup. They take a role that shows their value to the team. It's been a very good 20 games. But, again, I as all Ranger fans do, we get so wary of it, though. We don't take the time to enjoy it because we know right around the corner is the next five-game losing streak or, you know, rash of injuries or something else. So it's so hard to enjoy a good role by the Rangers just because you have that fear that something bad's around the corner, you know?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Now, I want to get,
yeah.
Mando, I want to get, take, no one's been tougher on Michael Delzato than you, and I want to know, after 20 games, what do you think of Michael Delzato this year?
Here's the deal. This guy is billed, his role is an offensive defenseman, is it not? You know what? If his role is to be a power play quarterback, if his role is to be able to carry the puck up the ice, be the main offensive cog from the back line, which is what he's been billed to be, I could give a shit if he gets beat one-on-one matchups like he normally does. Has he been solid as far as taking the body on occasion? Sure. Has he improved his defensive play? Sure. But you know what? That's not his role. His role is not to be the next Dan Girardi. His role is not to be the next Mark Stahl. His role is to be maybe a Sergei Zubov type. I'm not going to even compare him to Leach. I'm talking about a guy that can control a game from the back line. And I see zero potential in that. Now, you got everybody can blow him all they want. Oh, he's done so much better. Oh, he's not 20 anymore. Look at him. He's improved so much. What has he given you that you want? Has he given you the offense you want? He's a miserable failure at that. Miserable failure. He doesn't hit the net with consistency. He doesn't bring the puck up the ice. He doesn't have the vision for it. But if you want a guy back there that's going to be like Michael Delzato is right now, then he's been fine, if that's your expectation for him. If somebody came along and said to me, Delzato's going to be more of a, you know, 5-6 defenseman, he'll chip in a goal here or there, but he's going to play, you know, okay on defense, then Michael Delzato is a success this year. If he's billed as this offensive defenseman that can put up 50 to 60 points, has this great vision on the ice, can skate through a team, can control the play from a defensive position, like a lot of mid-tier to upper-tier defensemen in the league can do, then if that's his role, then he's a beyond miserable failure at that, and we have a dime a dozen Michael Delzados that can come in and take his spot.
Well,
okay.
Once again, as predicted, I knew that you would not even... You started off kind of good, but then you went into your wacko territory.
People
are going to blow up. Let me tell you something, kid.
Here we go. Go ahead and
kid.
How wonderful he is now because he doesn't throw the icing past 10 times.
He is playing 21 minutes a game, 20 minutes a game. He's not a liability on the ice. Now, is that what I want from Michael Delzato? No. But guess what? It's a big step in the right direction. This guy, if you told me that he was going to play 20 minutes, if I told you he was going to play 20 minutes for the first 20 games, you'd be like, there's no way. We're not going to win a game. That's how bad you had Michael Delzato. All right.
If your expectation is low of him, that you want him to be able to play 21 minutes against the opposite team's usual second, third, fourth lines, then that's fine. It was out of necessity rather than anything else. But okay.
I don't care how it worked out. I'm just saying that we've got to give the guy credit where credit is due. I'm not saying he's going to be Zubov. And I know his role was to come in here and provide offense. But I think everybody knows in this game, whether it's Victor Hedman, whether you're Tyler Myers, although he did have a good rookie season, you come into this league and you've got to learn to play defense first. And then your offense may come. I think the reason why he doesn't rush the puck as much as you'd like him to is because they really want to make the simple plays, even on the power play. Now, do I think this is the anointing of Michael Delzato, that he's back and he's everything? No. But it's a baby step. And let's give him credit. I'm not getting all sentimental. I'm just saying, when he's out there, I'm no longer scared. I used to be frightened when he was out there for his 5 minutes a game. Now he's going to make that dumb long pass. He gets the puck on his own blue line. He starts looking around up ice. I get nervous. And he has made some decent plays on the power play this year. He's been better with the passing. I think so.
What are you comparing him to? Are you comparing to himself from last year, or are you comparing him to a competent offensive defenseman?
I just said that his offense hasn't been all that great.
No, but you just made a couple of good plays on the power plays this year.
Yeah. Outstanding plays where I said, wow, this is what he's built to be. What, am I ludicrous to think that he made outstanding plays on the power play?
Let me ask you a question.
Do I got to pull tape to satisfy you? I mean, I don't understand, man, dog.
Let me ask you a legitimate question. Mark Stahl comes back, and you've got guys coming up in the minors like Erickson and McElrath, all who basically do defensively about what Michael Delzato does. Why does Delzato stay above those three guys in the future from what you see now?
Well, Tim Erickson, I don't know, frankly, Tim Erickson, what his offensive...
I'm not saying offense.
I don't know where he is. I don't know if Tim Erickson can play 22 minutes right now.
Not right now, no, right. But I'm talking about potentially in the future. These guys, given the thought about what they're going to...
You go route. Depends on how much money he wants and... Notice, McElrath has definitely got a slot.
Because he's a defenseman that plays physical, right?
Right. He's definitely got a slot.
And from all the accolades you've heard about Erickson, he's kind of a full package guy. He's not a banger, but, you know, he's got potential to take the body. He's got good offensive presence, solid defensively, so on and so forth.
Right. So you've replaced Emminger and Roy Whitka.
Right. And then Mark Stahl comes back. And you've already got McDonough, and you've already got Sauer.
Right.
Tell me what happens with Michael Delzato.
I don't know, but I'll tell you, if he continues at this pace.
What?
Continues
playing the way he does now. I'm not even getting on him. I'm saying if he right now stays at the level he's at right now, where does he fit in with all those other six guys already, you know?
We're not talking about a 32-year-old defenseman here. We're talking about a guy who's 22 years old. So at 22, if he can log 22 minutes in the NHL, a lot of 22s there, I think that's pretty good.
If Mark Stahl's on this Ranger team, does Michael Delzato play 22 minutes? Don't give me the 22 minutes of game. Is that a necessity rather than anything else?
I don't care if it's a necessity. I don't care if he's doing it to
He doesn't have another option.
The floor is yours.
Check your message. Do we want to bring on the other caller, Eddie?
Yeah, why not? This should be more fun than me and him arguing.
Cutter.
Cutter! Shut up, Cutter! Shut up, Cutter! Shut up, Cutter!
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Good. How are you?
What about me? What am I?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Shut up, Connor! How are you, Jeff?
Very good. I'm doing good. How are you guys? Oops, I said that.
Shut up, Connor!
What's going on?
So how about Bruce Boudreau getting fired, huh?
Wait, he got fired?
Yeah.
Bruce Boudreau got fired?
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I know what you mean. I know where you're going with this.
Well, shut up, Jeff, I want to ask you this.
Sure.
You think Boudreau should have been fired?
I think it was about time he got fired.
Okay.
Ron Wilson next?
No, probably not. I mean, we are fifth in the conference. I mean, we can't fire our coach now.
What's the status with James Reimer?
He should be back next week. Probably not in time for the Ranger game.
Ah, that always happens to the Rangers. How are the Kitchener Rangers doing?
We're doing decent. Anyway, am I allowed to weigh in on the alumni game or not?
Yeah, you can weigh in. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, so I know that Russ Cohan made a link to the potential alumni
Russ Cohan.
Russ Cohan.
Cohen,
you know.
Cohen, I apologize. I'm sorry.
This guy's been on the show like 10 times. Cohan? Is that George M. Cohan?
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Sorry, I pronounce it different sometimes.
Shut up, Cutter! Let the man speak.
Okay. The fact of the matter is, I'm looking at it right now, and I mean, why do the Rangers have so many like enforcers on their team?
Because they said yes. Phil Purinton hasn't been invited to the show.
Well, the point I'm making, guys, is that I'm looking at the list, and it says Nick Fitzhugh, Pat Hickey, Nick Kiprios, Dale Purinton, Darian Kasparaitis.
Dale Purinton had some of the best hands I've ever seen.
Pat Hickey wasn't a goon.
Pat Hickey.
You thought Pat Hickey was a goon?
No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
Pat Hickey had one fight. He knocked a guy out. That was about it.
It was a great freaking knockout.
Only Bill Chadwick thought he was a goon.
But the point is, guys, I mean, why the hell are you guys putting Darius Kasparaitis on your team? He's a fucking cupcake. Are you fucked?
Ow.
As in the team is screwed.
Yeah, I can't understand why the Rangers couldn't get more talented players. I really, Cutter does make a good point. I mean, come on.
Come on. The Flyers have so much firepower as I see it, and the Rangers don't. It just doesn't make sense.
Just look at the Flyer goaltending, please. They couldn't even get Dominic Roussel.
Actually, Mandar, you are on the right track. I mean, I'm looking and I recognize...
I'm on the right track. It's wonderful of you.
Handsome, yes. Off.
Yes, sir. Anyway, yeah, you're right, Mandar, because they have Mark Lafore and Neil Little. I mean, Neil Little's claim to fame was jumping on Ray Emery in the AHL.
Neil Little? I've never even heard of Neil Little.
Yeah, well, he played for the Flyers.
For the love of Robbie Moore, why can't they bring anybody else in? Ricky St. Croix!
Look, Mandar, they haven't had a good goalie since Lindbergh, and Brizgalov is not good either.
My buddy.
More in-depth analysis.
My buddy.
That's all you want.
All right.
That, anything else, Cutter?
May the best team win next Monday, okay?
That's all right. You know what I get? This is what's going to happen to your Leafs. We're taking you down. We are coming to town. We playing in Toronto or at the Garden?
At MSG, because the two games you guys got to play in Toronto are on Saturday night.
Shut up, Cutter! Shut up!
That was enough.
I don't know why you don't give that guy more of a chance. He's just the enlightenment that he rose.
Hey, but you know what? He should feel honored because he's got his own boom.
Bye-bye.
He gets the boom without the dismissed, and then he gets the...
Shut up, Cutter!
Shut up! Who in
Which one?
My buddy.
Cutter.
Oh, well, that was from last week.
My buddy.
He was going on about something, and I just started screaming at him, and that was how
shut
I
up,
finished
Cutter!
It. And then I just clipped that out. So.
Classic.
My buddy. My buddy. My buddy. How much this we gonna listen to? Amy said we're cruel. We are not cruel. If we were really cruel, we wouldn't even let him on the air.
Yeah. I'm not. Listen. This guy, I have to say, I enjoy. When I listen back to these shows, and I do, because that's how much of an ego I have. I listen back. I laugh at his calls more than anybody else. And not because he's laughable. Because the whole shtick is just absolutely funny.
And he's laughable.
Well, that's Mando's.
My buddy.
Wait, you know what the best... Whatever Cutter calls.
Everybody's like, what? Yep. My... Everybody's like, what? Yep.
We all know your nose is growing right now, too, there, Pinocchio.
Cutter, you did a great
job.
So
if your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
Thank you for calling in, Cutter.
Everybody's like, what? Yep.
Oh, boy, this brought this. Elwood is here, ladies and gentlemen. Or was here. So anyway, I think that's about it, Robin.
Think that's it? We're going to wrap this up?
Yeah. I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. Once again, I'll go over a quick roll call here to end things up. Adam from Chicago, Adam Bartello, one of the big-time Boucher Underground fans, always here for support. Hi, Amy Hernano, who's not only in the chat room, but also on the Facebook a lot. So is Adam.
Hi, buddy.
Bella Bell. I hope she took a little bit of criticism on Doobie, not too hard. We're pulling for Doobie. We love your man. We just want to see him do better. We got the great Charlene Lech here, the blushing bride, City Hockey Fever, Paul Guduzzi.
My buddy.
Paul's always telling you what games he's watching on Saturday night. So I kind of tune into him, too. He said, I like that. I want to know your agenda. So to the GML, the great Jeff Diamond, who you just heard from, get blown up, my buddy. The great Mike Gartner.
My buddy.
Favorite Rangers. Fast as hell, always scored on breakaways. A lot of Ranger fans did not like him because he didn't score in the playoffs much. That was always the knock on him. But then I looked up his stats, and they really weren't that bad. Great Howie Sussman, who's watching the Giants. Great Jack Love.
My buddy.
My buddy, Greg, the poet laureate. The great James Graham. The Reverend James Graham is here, ladies and gentlemen. Jay of the Dead, who's brought his lovely wife with him. Thank you. Jonathan Grossman. Joe the Enforcer, keeping it real in the field down in FLA. Joe wanted to be acknowledged. He felt ignored. Joe, I know how you feel. It happens to me every day. Louis Giannone. Don't know if he's related to John Giannone, but if you are Louis, please tell John it's all in fun that we crucify him every week on this broadcast.
Everybody's like, what? Yep.
Amanda. Always loved doing battle with them over Michael Del Sotto. He's my buddy. Three. Joey Catroni. Messed Gretz. The biggest Wayne Gretzky fan I know. And that's saying a lot. Mr. French, one of the older listeners, one of the veterans of this Ranger fan squad. We love it. Rangers Riot's here, ladies and gentlemen. He's rioting right now. He's doing an Occupy, I don't know, Occupy the Winter Classic. He's down there hoping that they lower the prices to an affordable amount, maybe under $300. Rocco Sansone, future serial killer, We'll be seeing him.
How do you know it's future?
I got a feeling they're going to find bodies buried underneath his house somewhere. Sue Papagallo.
My
Sue
buddy.
Is probably one of the most in-tune, informed fans that I know. She's also very Greek. That ends the Boucher Underground roll call for today.
Everybody's like, what? Yep.
November 28th, 2011.
One month from tonight, we will be at the Blarney Rock in New York City. Well, we hope we'll be at the Blarney Rock because Tom Dwyer still hasn't gotten back to us. Has he? That I know of?
No, I'm going to have to press him. I will start
right.
pressing today.
Yes.
So we'll
gang
see
up on
you
Tom's
when.
Facebook
what are we going to see? Oh, and I thank the guests for coming out.
Yes, thank you, guests. John Rosasco, Glenn Sather, Brendan McIntyre, Dino Ciccarelli, the rest of the PR department. December 28th at the Blarney Rock in New York City, viewing party for Blue Shirt Underground Radio. We'll be watching the Rangers take on the Dale Hunter-led Capitals. We hope to see you guys then. And I guess that's it. Eddie, my friend, always a pleasure. Mandar, thanks for sitting in. And...
Yep. Good night,
we'll
everybody.
Soon. Let's go, Rangers. Go, 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 go.
Not this shit again.
What is this game?